That's what I was thinking about this morning when my financial planner said she could finally meet me for lunch. Only today, she wasn't my financial planner. Lisa Nichols was the sister who had been avoiding me for the last 2 weeks, which was fine because that 2 weeks had given me enough time to cool off, enough time to play the message she'd left on my machine over and over. Gave reality a chance to waft in and thicken. Hi, Tyrell. This is Lisa giving you a call. It's 12:38, Tuesday afternoon. Awkward moment last night. Yes. I wanted to tell you in person that I was seeing Rick again, and, didn't get the opportunity to because you didn't, well, I guess I didn't get to page you because I had to go to a possible meeting and, well, plan a briefing. So didn't get to talk to you and didn't think I was going to hear from you last night. So kind of awkward with my husband right beside me. So anyway, I did want to tell you and let you know, and, you know, because you're a friend and sorry you had to find out that way. So didn't mean to hang up on you. I don't know what this does to our friendship. I mean, not intimacy, but like friendship. So, I don't know. If you don't want me to call you, let me know. Just talk to you later. Bye. I was at a Mandarin fast food restaurant on Fairfax and Slauson. The place was crowded with blue-collar Mexicans and blacks and Asians ordering the $3 lunch special. Most people stuck their food in a bag and left. The booth I was in gave me a view of home base, L.A. Hot Wings, and a 76 gas station. I had been waiting since 11:15. Lisa pulled up in her Volvo wagon a few minutes after 12, her first time being late. She parked facing me. We were eye to eye. I nodded. She nodded. She opened her door, sat there a moment like she was contemplating coming inside. Then at last, she eased out. Took a hard breath, shivered despite the heat, had a let's get this over with attitude under her hard expression. She stood next to her car like she was some sort of diva du jour, her back to the gas station and oil fields, dark shades hiding what I could already see. Uneasiness in her breathing. Mahogany skin, slender, page boy haircut, blue pinstripe pantsuit, dark Ferragamos, diamond earrings, wedding ring. I nodded. No smile, just a nod. She adjusted her jacket, moved her hair from her face, adjusted her purse on her shoulder, took a fidgety step in my direction. Inside my head, I heard her voice, echoes from the message she had left on my machine the morning after the incident. She didn't have the nerve to call me at home, and I've never missed a day of work since I was old enough to work. She had chopped her hair off since last we freaked and fled, had traded the Miata and bought a family Volvo wagon, changed her hair and the color of her nails. Lisa sat down at the table and smiled at me like I was a customer at the DMV. The smell of her perfume sweetened the bitter taste in my mouth. She said, "You order?" "Yeah, broccoli and chicken. I ordered you the usual. I'm not really hungry enough to eat a combo. Take it with you." She opened her purse and slid me a $5 bill. I opened my wallet and handed her a dollar. Her eyes darted left to right. "Would you mind if we move to a table not facing Slauson?"
"Why?"
"Because."
"Where?"
"Back over in the corner." We moved where we couldn't be seen from the streets. When we were settled, I said, "How are the kids?" She cleared her throat.